Jurassic Park Evolution, though, or Jurassic World, I guess. Pick that
up. Ooh. Did you get it?
I did. I just got it the other day. I finally made it over there to pick it up.
So did you start building it yet? Or playing?
Not yet. I've still been playing Inquisitor Martyr because I'm writing the review. So
you didn't build a T-Rex only park?
Not yet, but it's coming.
No, so. No lesser dinos allowed.
Bloodshed, you know, only.
Zoo Tycoon, the old one on the PC, the first one, had a dinosaur expansion, and that was awesome.
It did, you're right. And there actually was a Jurassic Park builder at some point. I remember seeing it.
That was on the PS1.
A mobile game?
Oh, there you go. It was a mobile game, though, you're right. But I think it was also like a PS1 era, something like that.
Nice.
But, I'm a big fan of park builders. That's why I'm so, I'm going to look for your review, because I see a lot of complaints about it, and I don't entirely trust all those complaints.
I'm going to be honest, so.
Oh, yeah. I know you will.
We'll have it up. And Inquisitor Martyr is still tons of fun. Go ahead.
Can't you, design your own dinosaurs?
You can. You can make genetic mutants.
That's pretty neat.
What?
Yo. And I actually didn't know this either, but apparently the Lego line of Jurassic Park sets, they also encourage you to mix and match parts on the dinosaurs to make your own freaks.
That's horrifying. We are teaching an entire generation of children to play God, essentially, and take creation into their own hands.
Lego was so busy asking whether or not they could.
Oh, man. Well, I almost want to do? I almost want to download the Zoo Tycoon because it's on the Games Pass and just make a gorilla zoo. That's it.
No one would go to that zoo.
Excuse me?
All right, one person would go to that zoo.
Yeah, I would go to that zoo. Well, here we are, folks. We got a new, we got a good show this week. We got a good packed show, kind of packed show. Jason's going to be doing a lot of talking this week.
Yeah.
Have coffee.
Yes, he will be.
Jason's going to be doing a bunch of talking. We got a game of the month for May. Didn't we vote on June already, too?
We
did vote on it, correct?
Yeah, we did. It's just May, I totally forgot about. So I just put it up last week, so we'll talk about that. And then next week we'll do June.
Cool. And then we're going to be talking about July release dates. So we're going to be going into some San Diego Comic-Con news, including some IDW stuff, Marvel stuff. And we're going to be getting into a couple reviews that I did and Jason did. And that's, of course, on top of our smattering of newsy goodness that we bring you every week here on this show.
Yes, some switchy reviews.
Yeah, and I have a stance for a little bit later in the show that's going to catch you guys off guard, and it's probably going to leave you frustrated with me. So,
well, that's nothing new.
So let's get to it, guys. new character for Soul Calibur was announced. Well, she's not new, but she's coming in 6. She's new for 6.
Yeah, and she wasn't in 5.
So it's a big deal. Her name's Talim.
Probably not how I would pronounce.
No, it's Talim, I think, anyway.
Yeah, I think so.
It's my actual attempt at pronouncing this name. And Rick, you don't seem impressed with this, given your show note production.
I didn't really like that character from the past, so.
Dude, I didn't even remember her.
I do. I remember her being rather difficult, and I think she spins around a lot, and just wasn't fun from my memory.
Well, she's coming to Soul Calibur, which comes out in October of this year. Benj, site contributor, everyone knows Benj, good guy. He's pretty excited about this, based on his reaction on Facebook, I think. Yeah. Unless I'm using it with someone else, which I could be.
No. Well, Rick, you're excited about Gerald, aren't you, being in it?
I am excited about Gerald being in this game. So
yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah. I don't think I'll buy it, though, but I'll get it when it comes out to Game Pass or when it's something down the line.
I don't know. I have like a weird, like certain fighting series I pick up like right away. Soul Calibur used to be one of them, and I haven't bought one in a while, so.
Yeah, me neither.
1, 2, and 3 I liked.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that's happening. So we're tearing right through this. Shenmue 1 and 2 are coming out on Xbox One, PS4, and PC next month. I guess it's a remaster of some kind.
So exciting.
This is to drum up, I guess, enthusiasm for the series with ahead of 3. With, I guess, amongst the general public, I'm not going to play this. I have no interest in this. Isn't this like a life game?
Yeah. See, Rick, I think this could have also used the Z's on the...
Yeah, right.
Whoa, man. Did you guys ever play Shenmue?
No.
I tried to, but I just couldn't get behind it.
Yeah. I played the first one, and it's really boring.
Yeah.
I mean... like really boring. I'm sure people like don't want to hear that, but that's like just my opinion, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't the I don't know. It's okay.
Yeah.
Isn't there like a whole like a forklift driving section of this game?
I think there is, yes.
It's very exciting, Eric. So this re-release, just to give some quick fact, it'll hit the Xbox One, PS4, and PC. I don't know why, I hate to bring up a meme, but I don't know why this isn't on Switch, because it seems like it could be pretty easily.
Mm-hmm. Looks like an old Sega Dreamcast game, which is what it is.
Yeah.
So
it I guess looks a little better. It's got modernized features, quote unquote, scalable resolutions, choice of control schemes. It has both the Japanese and English voiceovers, which I am absolutely sure longtime fans are going to love because people really dig that kind of stuff. It has a refreshed UI, and a host of PC graphics options if you buy it on the PC. So that's the deal.
Ooh. All right. So
I just sold you on it.
I know.
No. No.
Nope.
I don't have any love for this game, so there it is. That's
what you do love.
Do you? What is it?
Yeah. It's Mario plus rabbits and Donkey Kong.
He is. Donkey Kong's here. So yeah. Michael wrote up this pretty lengthy preview of what this content is, and to summarize the thing. I'm very articulate this morning. To summarize this story, which you can find on BrutalGamer.com, Donkey Kong Adventure is basically a new campaign for the Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle. Right. So you play as Rabbid Cranky, which is a rabid version of Cranky Kong, which is pretty great. Donkey Kong and Rabbid Princess Peach, and you work through to take back. You're trying to assemble the washing machine that transported that started all the trouble in the first, because it transferred. It's just as silly as the rest of this game is. You know, Princess Peach plugs her phone into it to charge it, and it's a warp, and it takes her to Donkey Kong Island, and where Rabbid Donkey Kong landed with her, because he went inside that washing machine or something. When he came out, he was like 5 times bigger than he was originally. So
he should have shrunk.
He commandeered the island, and now all of the rabbits there bow to him.
Which is understandable.
Yeah. So there is a lot of really cool mechanics with Donkey Kong. He can swing on vines, he can climb up walls, he can throw enemies and allies to different parts of the battlefield, so that's pretty cool. He has a lot of health. I'm really enjoying this. I'm not finished it yet, but it's a lot of fun. It seems pretty long, too.
I hear his version of the hero shot is called the Harry shot.
You know what? It could be. I didn't notice. I actually noticed that, but it could be.
That's according to Mike's piece that he wrote here.
That's funny.
It's the Harry shot.
Nice.
The only thing that I would have liked to have seen done differently here is get rid of Rabid Cranky and replace him with either Diddy Kong or Cranky Kong. Like,
yeah, I'm down with that.
Because I think Diddy Kong could have had similar functionality to Rabid Cranky. But it would have been cool to have like another proper character in the game instead of just Donkey Kong.
Eric, I'm really—I probably said this already—but I'm really surprised that they didn't. There's no other, you know, staple Donkey Kong characters in the game. It seems like that would have been pretty obvious.
Right. I mean, I'm not finished, so who's to say they don't make a surprise thing?
Right.
Entrance at some point, or like a cameo, even.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that's where it is. That's where we stand.
No, nope, it's quite a place.
$15. It's available now, and you only have to beat the first quarter of the campaign. You have to beat, like, the first island to get access to this. So, you don't need to finish it.
I didn't even think of that, but okay.
Yeah.
Like, how much you have to beat of the main game.
Yeah, it takes place right when you're returning to the main hub after... Oh, there he is.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That was my fault.
No, no problem. It takes place right when you're returning to the main hub after you defeat Rabid Kong.
Right.
The first time. So, there it is.
Cool.
Yeah. SNK 40th Anniversary Collection is coming to the Switch. Eh.
Wow.
So you guys won't be getting this, I take it?
I think I might. This is all pre-Neo Geo stuff,
which
is kind of cool. So there's no fighting games, no, you know, typical Neo Geo SNK stuff. I kind of liked, I remember Ikari Warriors pretty well, and I used to like that game.
That's a good game.
Yeah, and then Guerrilla War is in this also, mm-hmm. and that was a really good one. Alpha Mission, Crystallis, Psycho Soldier, which I never played. But I mean, it seems pretty cool. So if it's like, you know, if it's discount priced, I'll pick this up.
Okay, cool.
It's exclusive to the Switch.
Tell me how you should write a little snap judgment on it.
I shall do that. Snapshot.
Not a judgment, sorry. A snapshot of it.
Final judgment. That sounds like a fighting game move.
I know, right?
Eric's dying. I'm sorry.
I know. Eric seems to be dying.
I'm so sorry, Eric.
Oh my God. I have a really bad cough, and I don't know why. It's really annoying, though. I'll tell you that. Moving on a little bit, we have the Nintendo download this week, which there's some neat stuff here apparently. I don't care.
What about Pocket Rumble? You like Pocket Rumble?
Pocket Rumble does look kind of cool. So big titles this week are Pocket Rumble, which was supposed to be a launch title apparently, but it's a really mechanically simplified fighting game. So the idea is that anybody can jump in and compete with anybody. Which I actually like that. I like playing mind games and fighting games, and I would rather win by psyching out my opponent than by being able to do more combos faster. I don't know.
Does that work?
I mean, I haven't played this, so.
No, I mean just in general, in fighting games.
I mean, yeah, that's a mind game is a huge, huge part of it, if you can condition and mess up your opponents. So. And the other thing is, I guess this is a JRPG. I'm not really sure.
I don't know.
Shining Resonance Refrain. I think this is a JRPG.
Play I know that you play. Yeah, I was going to say.
You want to read it or do you want me to read it?
No, you go ahead.
All right. Play as Yuma Ilvern, a and stop the Empire from exploiting the power of the ancient dragons, including the soul of the shining dragon within you. Aw. With the help of your in-game friends, realize your destiny, save Astoria, and unleash the strength you've always had locked away. The remaster, oh, it's a remaster, features all the original game's DLC. The Shining Residence refrain game is available on July 10th. Ooh, so, if you like re-releases of JRPGs...
No.
So otherwise...
ringing endorsements.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Highlights this week include an ACA Neo Geo Samurai Showdown 5.
Oh, baby!
Hotel Transylvania 3, Monsters Unleashed. So that's good. We got Johnny Turbo's Arcade, Two Crude Dudes.
Another World?
Mushroom Wars 2, actually. This piqued my interest, and I looked at it. This is an RTS, a mushroom-based RTS. So I might be in for this one.
Dude, we can probably get a code for that game.
You think so?
Well, yeah, it's on this website called Terminals.
Oh,
did you see
okay.
that, Jason? We got an email for that game.
I actually didn't see it, but there you go. If you're interested, Eric.
Yeah, let us know.
Yeah, I could review that.
Okay. Squids Odyssey.
What is that?
So, I actually reviewed this game. I don't know if I reviewed it for BG or if it was for another site that I used to work for. But so it's kind of like a it's like a turn based. Like semi RPG ish thing, and I think this is just a port of it. It was a mobile game, from, God, long time ago. It might be a sequel, but I think it to me it just kind of looks like a port. But it's actually a pretty fun game. Right now it's $12 on the eShop. If you're looking for something maybe for the younger set to play, this might be a good idea.
Cool.
Then also, I just wanted to also point out 20XX. I've never played this game, but it looks pretty cool. And it's kind of like a Mega Man X clone, if you will. It's been out on the PC for a while, so it's on Switch this week also.
Neat.
Check it out.
Deals this week. Immortal Redneck is only $16, so that's good.
You like that, right?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a fun game.
That's right, Rick, you reviewed it.
Yeah.
Like Ukulele it. Is on sale for $30, too. So, if you're into Ukulele.
Eric, should I buy it?
I mean, I really enjoyed it. So, I don't know. Do you like Banjo-Kazooie type collectathon games?
I do.
Well, I would say go for it. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
I haven't played one in ages either.
So. Yeah. It's a lot of fun, and it's very, very Banjo-Kazooie.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know if that's good or bad. But
that's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
I don't think.
So, there you go. Yeah, It's a good one. It's a good one. Lots of varied levels, lots of charm, lots of fun sense of humor stuff. Some pretty challenging sequences too.
Yeah, cool. Well, maybe I'll take a look.
So, there it is. This other thing, I'm not too sure what it even is. Do you guys know what this is? Or
what is it?
Bandai Namco bringing Museum Arcade Pack to Switch.
Oh, I do know what this is.
Oh, cool. Do you want to...
I wrote it. Sure. So, this is a new Namco... I'm sorry, Bandai Namco Museum Collection. So, if you know the Bandai Namco Museum on the Switch, it has a bunch of games. This one has a couple more and focuses on Pac-Man. Because there's two versions of Pac-Man included. There's the classic one, and then there's Champion Edition 2 that is also included, which is a great game. In addition to those two, you get Galaga, Dig Dug, Rolling Thunder, which is terrific, Sky Kid, Tank Force, and the original Splatterhouse, which is also a great arcade game. So those are all collected. I would have probably liked to have seen a couple more games included in this, but that's what you get. No pricing or anything like that, but should be out this year.
Cool.
Nice.
As independent, well, I shouldn't say independent, but separate companies from Nintendo make their own virtual console on the Switch.
Nice. So that's all of our news we got this week. Yay.
Yay.
Huzzah.
We got two reviews. Jason wrote one and I wrote one. Jason, do you want to go first or would you like me to go first?
No, I'll go first because then I got freaking...
That's true.
Yeah. And by the way, guys, feel free to interject in any of that stuff.
I've got some stuff to say.
Excellent. I will start with my Crash Bandicoot, the Insane Trilogy Switch snapshot review. So I took a look at this game this week and published a little snapshot on it. If you played the previous one, there's probably no reason to play this. If you played the PS4 version, I mean, if you did not, then I mean, the PS4 version and the Xbox One versions and the PC version, for that matter, they're probably all the same, relatively. Plus, they all have the new levels that Activision snuck in there. There's two new levels. But they're probably all roughly the same. The Switch version, which is the one I reviewed, is obviously less graphic intensive. That's not to say it looks bad, but it kind of looks a little dark and slightly muddy, just a little bit. But I'm still enjoying the hell out of it. I can't see anybody not, because it's the classic Crash games, which are terrific platformers. It still looks great, so it's not like it looks bad. It just doesn't look as great as the other three versions. And it has the extra levels, has all of that stuff. Plus, it's portable, which I think is a big plus for something like this. Because to me, I don't know, like I'm going to sit down and play Assassin's Creed in front of my TV. I'm not really going to, even if it was on the Switch, I mean, I'd probably play it, but it wouldn't be like, wow, I really want to take this on the go. This kind of a game to me is absolutely perfect for that. So I think this might be the best version of it, even though it's not as graphically intensive as the other one. So just to sum it up, I called it a crashing good time. And I said Crash Bandicoot, the Insane Trilogy, is still a great set of games made even better since now it's portable thanks to the Switch. It's not as graphically sharp as the other platforms' versions and has a few mysterious control oddities, but it is mostly a joy to play. Go check it out. I gave it an 85. And just to go back to that control oddity thing, I did encounter it one more time. We talked about this on the show last week, but there's just an odd kind of a thing that doesn't pop up very often at all, and I think it might be hit detection now. But it's not always. It's not a constant thing. It's just once in a while where it seems like if you get close to an enemy or an object that's supposed to kind of hurt you or push you back, but not, I mean, to me, I wasn't in range for any of this, but it was almost like I yanked back on the control pad and Crash basically moved in another direction than I wanted to move it. It's happened basically three times. It's something to be aware of. I'll leave it at that. I wouldn't call it a game breaking thing, but it's something to be aware of. So that's it. That's my review.
That's cool. Nice.
Yeah.
Very cool. Glad Crash is on a Nintendo console finally.
Me too. I don't know, has he ever been on a Nintendo console other than Game Boy?
I don't think so. I mean, like, yeah, the Game Boy, but... So, we have Mario Tennis Aces, which I reviewed. so another Switch review here. This one is not a port or anything like that. This is built from the ground up for the Switch, I think, anyway. And I gave this game a 73%. It's good. It's and that's it. It's fine. It's a Mario Tennis game. So if you know what you're expecting, in terms of multiplayer stuff, that's what you're gonna get. The adventure mode is a little bit lackluster, and it's a little disappointing. The adventure mode's biggest boon is the fact that you get a wacky story about a tennis racket possessing Luigi, and
poor Luigi.
Yeah. So, an evil tennis racket possesses Luigi, and you have to go on this mission to find the 5 stones or something to stop the tennis racket. And then it's a pretty fun story, but the execution, it's really short. A lot of the missions are repetitive. It kind of has stats and stuff, but only kind of just to say they have it. It's really, really light. It's not much of an RPG at all. Some of the boss battles are cool. There's a lot going on the screen, though, so sometimes it's a little easy to get lost on that stuff. Now, multiplayer mode. The pure tennis mechanics are a lot of fun. There's the standard mode, where you have energy, zone shots, trick shots, time dilation, and special shots. And there's the simple mode, where you just play tennis. No power-ups, anything like that.
Oh, well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's neat. The thing is with that is you can get into a loop. So if two players know what they're doing, games can go on for a really long time.
Oh.
Because there's no, like, you're not getting tired. You're not making mistakes. Just the way the game works. Mm. So that can happen. So I really enjoy the standard. I like the strategy that the energy brings to the game. It's a little different. It's really cool. There's an online ranked mode, kind of. It's a tournament, so you compete in the tournament every month, and every month you compete in the tournament, you get an extra character early. So if you compete in the July tournament, you get Koopa Troopa early, and you can play as Koopa Troopa. I think next month is... what's the squid's name? I'm blanking.
Blooper.
Yes. Yeah, I think next month is Blooper, and I think after that it's probably going to be Kamek or something like that. Okay. So... new characters come in all the time. Their devs are going to be doing patches for balance and stuff. So I really enjoyed this.
Do you like Kamek as a character?
He's fine. Gee, okay. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's all right. Yeah, it's okay. So I gave this game a 65% for premise and mode, just because the adventure mode is really lackluster and you can blow through it in like 3 hours. Gameplay, I gave an 85% because it's, you know, it's solid Mario Tennis. It's fun. And presentation, I gave 70 because the game looks great, but it's not blowing me out of the water. Tight and well-executed mechanics make up for a less-than-stellar story. A robust online system ensures Mario sports games will have life for some time. 73% overall. It's good.
Excellent.
So...
Switch is doing very well. Lots of good games.
Yeah, for sure.
A lot of good games.
I've been playing Wolfenstein. I mean, we'll talk about this later, but I've been playing Wolfenstein also, and it's shockingly good.
Nice. It's the second one, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Cool. Yeah, no, that's awesome to hear. So, cool. Let's get to the comic rack.
I wish I had music for my comic rack. Some kind of intro music. I feel like it should have, like, you know, the Marvel page flip or something. Anyway.
That'd be pretty cool.
It would. If I had a book here, I'd do it right now. Anyway.
All right.
Oh my god, I love it.
I have a harmonica.
Let's get right in to the comic rack, because there's a lot of stuff. Half of it, of course, is stuff with San Diego Comic-Con. There's a lot of stuff to go over. So we'll start off with my review of the Batman Ascending Knight action figure from Mezco. So this actually came out a while ago. but I actually just got around to reviewing it this past week. It's a great figure. If you're a Batman fan, if you've been waiting for a comic book Batman for your 112 collective shelf, or you know, just if you're a fan in general, this is a terrific figure. There's a lot that went into this one. You get the usual posing and articulation and level of detail that you expect from the 112 collective. Plus, you get two really awesome interchangeable heads. You get a Bruce Wayne head, which looks great. You get a Batman head that is... This figure is meant to look like Batman's like first couple of years. So the Batman head has like longer ears, and it's not quite the cowl that you know. It's a little bit different. It looks really cool. Likewise, the gauntlets have like really short fins on them, not the usual long ones. It's just really cool stuff. The figure looks great. The only probably thing that I would say that threw me off a little bit with the look is the bodysuit, because it's not the typical bodysuit that you imagine with most superheroes, but with Batman, because it's they put like a tech kind of look to it. It just kind of throws things off a little bit. There's some lines on it that honestly look a lot better in person than they do in the imagery that I posted in the review. But still, it's different, and it might be a little bit of an acquired taste. But it does look cool overall. Do you like it?
I think I kind of do, because it would like, if he made a suit now, it was kind of cool because it looks like it's like interwoven into it, you know, and then maybe it's like leather, but I don't know. I kind of dig it. I like it.
It looks, I tell you, Rick, it looks way better in person than my pictures show, but
it's pretty cool looking.
The cape is awesome. It's like, I didn't really talk about this in the review, but the cape is really awesome. It's like a leathery kind of material. Yeah, it's really neat. It hangs really, really well. I don't know if you can tell that from the pictures, but like you can like drape it over the figure. I mean, it makes some really awesome Batman poses.
Does it have like the ability for it to like a wire through it, so you can like kind of what I'm looking for, shape it kind of?
Right. You know what? It doesn't. That's one of the things I loved about the Shazam figure, because that has the wire around the rim of the cape, and you really make some great stuff. What they included here instead is the when you use the flight stand.
I see it. I see what you're talking about.
Yeah, you can kind of spread the cape out on these wires that you can clip onto the edges of it, and you can make it look, you can put it in some great poses. I didn't really talk about this either in the review, but one thing about those wire clips is that you can see the clip. So you're never going to have it be that it's on your shelf and it just, the cape like just perfectly flows out like he's like floating down or something like that. You're going to see the wires. So, and it's a little bit. But overall, it's a great figure. I can't complain too much. The detailing is unbelievable. The accessories are fantastic. Really, really cool. You get tons of batarangs and grapnel gun and the attachments for it, and this weird little crossbow thing. It's really cool. Then there's, I don't know what the hell this even is. It's like this metal plate. It's not real metal, but it's like a metal plate thing that has grips. I have no idea what this thing is, and it looks like a bat. I don't know, but you get that too.
It's Batman's grill plate, dude. That's where he makes his meals.
Oh my god!
When he's not fighting crime, he's out barbecuing.
It's a special Bat George Foreman grill. I love it.
Yep.
Especially supplied. I love it. Cool. I love it. But yeah, I gave it a 96 because it's an awesome figure. So there's the next figure is coming up, I think, in the fall. And that is Sovereign Knight. And I'm much more excited about that one than I was about this one. But I love this one. It is a great figure. But that one is like the supposed to be their modern take on Batman. Like at the height of his career as a crime fighter. And it looks like it's got all the bells and whistles that you could want. So that should be out soon too. And there is a slick variant of this figure, which is a previews exclusive. And all of the black is in blue. So it looks like the classic 80s Batman with the blue and gray. The only bad part about it is they didn't redo the bat symbol on his chest with the yellow oval. That annoys me. Yeah. That annoys me, but other than that, it's that is an awesome figure, so that's out there.
You know what it kind of reminds me of? I wish I remember who wrote it, but it was like a standalone Batman comic, and it was kind of set in the future, but you didn't really know if it was Batman, and it was drawn by, and it was like a murder thing. There was a murder mystery. Help me remember this, Jason. I'm sure you've read it. And let me see here. And he had like this weird, the bat cycle would like hang upside down, and it was like drawn really weird, but it was like really cool.
Sounds familiar. Was it? Wasn't Paul Pope? Was it?
Yes, that's exactly what it was. There. It was Paul Pope's run. Yeah. So, yeah, that's what the costume reminds me of.
Yeah, I could see that. I could totally see that. So, yeah.
Yeah. Could, yeah. That's exactly.
You could probably make some of those crouchy poses pretty good too. Mm-hmm. With this one. Cool stuff.
Oh man, I love that book.
That is a good book. That is a good one. I actually just got familiar with Noel, and that one is pretty cool too. I had heard people talk about that bat suit for a while, and it is cool. I like that. Okay. Well, let's keep it to action figures for now, and we'll go into Valiant and action figures. Yes, that's correct. So this is probably the first action figure, first real figure of a Valiant character, other than the Mini Mates, which there have been a few of those. This is from a company called Fison, I think I'm saying that correctly. And it's a high-end collector figure of Bloodshot. I like almost everything about this figure. The base is phenomenal. He's got this like street corner base with like a fire extinguisher and like crumbling pavement. And I found a fire pump, not an extinguisher. It's really cool looking. It looks like he's got a lot of accessories. This company, apparently, I wasn't really familiar with them, but apparently they specialize in figures that do not have visible joints. So everything is covered with like a skin. And it creates a look that's almost like a statue, although you can pose him in any position you want. That's so, cool. Yeah, it is really neat. I mean, if you look at the pictures, you can't see any joints on Bloodshot's arm. So, like, there's no elbow joint. There's nothing. I think you can probably see the joint at his neck, though. I assume you could, but that's probably the only one. So it looks really slick. I don't know if I'm 100% wild about that face. I think it's almost a little too young looking. For Bloodshot, but honestly, the rest of the figure looks really cool. Not cheap, obviously. It's $159. Comes out this fall, but you're supposed to order before July the 23rd, because apparently that's going to be some kind of cutoff date. I guess these are very couture kind of figures, so they're going to like make a couple of them. So if you're interested, nice. Check it out.
I know what Eric's getting. What do you mean? I just spent $159 on something else. Don't worry about it.
It was something for work.
It's required, trust me.
Exactly. No, don't go in the closet. That's moving on, we'll go into a little bit of DC Comics news. This actually broke a while ago, but we didn't cover it. And then I just happened to see it in their news site, and I thought it's worth talking about. So this is a new initiative from DC, 100-page, giant 100-page books that they are putting into Walmarts this summer. And apparently they've started debuting already. There's I think 3 or 4 different ones, and each one has a bunch of stories in it, including a new story. And the idea is to get new fans who have not bought comic books before to buy these. So it's a similar kind of thing to GameStop's initiative with the spinner racks that they're going to be putting in stores. It's just to get people who haven't bought comics into buying comics and try to get some more fans for the industry. So I love that idea, and I like the idea. I wish it wasn't just Walmart, but I like the idea that they're they're putting these books out, and actually they sound like kind of cool books. Just to give you an example, the Superman Giant has a really cool Jim Lee cover. It includes the Terrifics number one, I guess the whole issue, Green Lantern number one from 2005, Superman Batman number one from 2003, and that's a great story arc that kicks off in that one, Public Enemies. It's got Ed McGuinness art. And then Superman Giant number three will be along, let's see, when does that come? So I guess they're going to continue this series. That comes out this fall. But then there's Teen Titans, there's Batman, there's Justice League of America, and each one has the same spread. So you get a couple of full issues. You get a new book, a new story, rather, in each one. It's cool stuff. So check out your local Walmart if you want to. I've heard big comic fans diving in for these, too, just because of the coolness factor, even though they don't really need them. What do you guys think? What do you think of this? It's a good idea?
Yeah, I like it. Nice, easy way to get kids hooked on to comics.
Yeah.
Feed the addiction.
Yeah, there you go. I would have liked to have seen him in like 7-Eleven stuff, like grocery stores, stuff like that, too. But I mean, this is good. It's a good start.
Yeah. Yeah, I dig it. What's the price point on these?
These are, they're pretty cheap. Let's see.
What, $5-$10?
Yeah, something like that. Let me see. Was it in? Oh, you know what? I don't even think it was in the press release, actually.
Nice.
But I'm going to say it was pretty low priced because I remember seeing it and I was like, oh.
Because they're just, we said there's one new story, but then the rest are re-releases, right?
Yeah.
Reprints.
Okay. Yeah. So, like, just, you know, the Superman one has like three full issues, but they're old. Mm-hmm. And then it'll have like the one new story.
Okay.
So it's cool. And I think these are continuing because I didn't even really notice this, but like at the end of the Superman preview, it says Superman Giant number three. This is Superman Giant number one. So
I guess they're going to
keep rolling with them. So that's cool. Eric, what about you? You don't, you're not a big, huge comic guy yet. Would you pick up some of these to get into like past stories and stuff?
Yeah, you know what? I was thinking about that because I saw this the other day, and I think it's a really good way, like Rick said, to get kids into it. But it's also good for people who kind of, like me, who like certain characters, but I don't really have it, like, I don't really read Superman books, you know, I don't read Batman books or Wonder Woman books, and I think those are the three main characters that are getting these right now.
Yeah.
Which they're the big three, so that makes sense. But it's pretty cool that I can go in and pick this up for, like, you know, pretty cheap, $5 or $10. I know there's no confirmed price that we have on it. And
I've seen people, it's funny, I've seen people posting about picking them up, but I don't know what the price was.
Right. So I think it's pretty cool, and I can see myself picking these up, even if it's just for the novelty factor, you know?
Right.
So I agree with you, though. I wish they were in more stores. Because Walmart's great and everything, but we could use some more exposure, I think.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that.
And, I get the purpose of putting these in Walmart, but I think not selling these in local comic stores is kind of a miss, too. Because the people who would buy them in the local comic stores wouldn't be buying them at Walmart anyway.
Right. That's a good point. By the way, they are $5. I just found
out. Oh, wow. That's really nice.
I could see myself picking up all three of these.
Yeah. They're cool. They're just neat. And it reminds me so much of stuff that we would see years ago. So that's cool. By the way, Eric, I caught up on Justice League and stuff like that. And you were right. It's good.
Yeah, I'm like, I think, which one is the most recent one on that one? Two?
I think it's just two.
Yeah, that's, I have that one. I'm behind on Flash War 1 week, I think.
Okay, that's really good. Man, that is great.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it a lot.
Really liking that. Rick, there's so much stuff in there from the old DC Universe.
Oh, man.
It's really good. Flash War is really good. Yeah.
Nice. Really good. All right. I'll pick it up for DC subscription.
Yeah, Yeah. Speaking of which, I guess we should talk about that for just a second. So we might as well do it now. So we put up all the info on the website. And Rick went into this really deeply last week, but we put up all the info on the website. So if you want to read about the DC subscription service, you can see everything except the price.
I know. How much do you think it's going to cost?
Oh, God, I don't know. You know, I hope it's not like a ridiculous amount of money per month. Because the comics are one thing, but there's not that many TV shows.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, you got to think about it, like Marvel's $5 a month.
Yeah.
But they only have comics. This one's going to have exclusive TV shows, exclusive animated movies. Yeah. And then I believe all the DCW shows are going to move there. And they're going to stop with their Netflix.
Oh, so, really?
That's what I've heard. But that was also like when they first started talking about this. So, you know, I'm guessing probably it's probably going to be the same as like Prime or Netflix, $10 a month or something.
You know, $10 a month, Rick, I don't think that's crazy.
I would pay that in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there are so many old DC stories I want to read that I just never got to that.
Right. Yeah.
You know, are included in this. And it also, I think it would be smart because it'll help bolster current comic sales too when they've got big events going on.
Right.
Yeah.
I just read too that Batman the Animated Series will be in HD for the first time on this.
Oh. So. I would watch that. I just hope the interface is like really good. I like Marvel's Online is only really good through an iPad or a phone. Okay. Which is ridiculous. Online, it is one of the worst. It's like, it's almost unusable. Like, it's ridiculous. And I have it on my Surface, and it's just like, I have to go through my Surface through the desktop app, and it sucks. Like, you can't, it's so weird, and it's so buggy that to browse through the comics, you literally have to touch the screen, which is fine on a Surface, but if you're not on a Surface, then you have to use like a mouse button and stuff. It's just so weird. Ugh. It's so weird. Yeah. And then on top of that, it's just like, again, on the iPad, they give you a list. They're like, okay, I want to read all the Age of Apocalypse comics. And it gives you a list of what to read. But everywhere else, like through the desktop app, it's like, read Age of Apocalypse. And then it doesn't have any of the comics listed in it.
What?
And you're just like, yeah, it's like, it tells you what it is, but there's nothing listed in the event. You're just like, oh, cool. Or there's like maybe like the first 5 comics, but it's like all the series. So it doesn't tell you, hey, you know what? You have to read, you know, the 4 series, like 1, 1, 1, 1. 2, 2, 2, 2. Whereas like if someone came new into this and they read like, I'm gonna read all of Gambit and the Externals, and then you're like, okay, now I'm gonna go read the X-Men, and you're like, wait a second, this is totally out of whack.
So, is no one paying attention to this?
Dude, I've sent them so many freaking tickets about it. Thanks for the comment, or thanks for the comment, we'll take it into account. And I was like, sure you won't. Okay.
I know that you like, won't. Come you are on. Patronizing.
Yeah. As I just make, and I'm like, I don't understand why you can't. Yeah. Yeah. It's awful.
That's. Because, you know, I've always thought that would be a cool thing to subscribe to, because I freaking love the old X-Men issues. I just love them.
Dude.
But I remember when you said it's like hard to.
Yeah. I mean, if you have an iPad or you don't mind reading on your phone, it's great, because it's amazing.
Does it have to be an iPad? Or can it just be a tablet?
You might want to check on that. I don't know if they do it on a tablet. All I know is that you can get it through your phones, and that's Android or Apple. And it works great, but again, it's just small. But again, yeah, iPad is the best, because it's almost a real size of a comic and stuff. So,
do they have guided you?
Yes. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's like the saving grace.
Yeah.
Cool. But I mean, it's really cool. I would highly recommend it. I've stopped buying comics, and I don't mind being 6 months behind. It's really not that big a deal to me, just because of all the access. I mean, I get to read every Star Wars comic right now. I'm reading Infamous Iron Man. I could read all of Civil War 2 now if I wanted to. I read most of Secret Wars 2, although it gets a little weird towards the end.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. So, and it's just awesome to have it all on. You know, I got to read all of Superior Spider-Man, which I loved. So it's just great to have. It's just almost everything within the last like 5 years, and then they go back even further with a whole bunch of different other stuff.
That's cool.
So, yeah, I mean, there's like 70,000 comics in the program. So
nice. Yeah, so you should just wait then for Flash War, because I'm sure that'll be on there.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah, I'm just going to wait for everything. And I don't know. No one really knows what DC is going to do with their subscription service. So, you know, with that delay. So I'm sure they'll be behind, but you never know. Top of that, or go ahead.
And I was just going to say, it's not going to be day and date, but I don't know. If I were them, I would say it would probably be smart to try to cut the delay at least a little bit, maybe make it a little more tempting, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and on top of that, and I'm sure DC will probably follow Marvel in some way, but like there's sales through the Marvel Unlimited subscription all the time where it's like pick up, you know, like Marvel Now, the first episode, pick it up for like 5 cents. And so you can download the digital comic. Yeah. And then they always have sales, and then they also have like you know, they kind of gamified it. So if you watch the trailer for Ant-Man and Wasp, you'll gain X amount of points, and then you can start to use those points to, you know, buy Darth Vader #1 or, you know, just stuff along those lines. Yeah. So it's just as easy as going onto this website and just watching a bunch of videos or reading different certain comics. So it's really cool. I would highly recommend it. And I think it's $70 now. So it's just barely over $5 a month. It's really cool service. I really like it.
That's great. I mean, it might be worth it for me just to read old X-Men issues. That's probably what I would be getting it for. That's
awesome. Yeah. That's what I've been doing. I've been reading all the newer ones like Gen X, X-Men Blue, X-Men Gold. Mm-hmm. Can't bring myself to read Jean Grey yet, or I certainly will not be reading Iceman.
No.
Yeah.
I've heard it's you know. I've heard Iceman. I've heard X-Men Red is really terrible. I can tell you.
Oh yeah,
that,
I haven't started that yet.
Yeah, I can tell you. I mean, I don't know if you are you enjoying Blue and Gold.
I'm enjoying aspects of it. You and I, and we've all talked about it. I like that the original X-Men are back just because I like those characters and I like having them back. And I kind of like the dichotomy about them trying to fight how they're going to turn out, you know, their destiny, as to say. I like how they're fighting about it. I like how Beast is like turned into like a magic beast now. I kind of like that as well. Jean Grey has discovered a new power, which I kind of digged as well. There's still rumblings of the Phoenix coming back. So I don't know.
There's good elements to it. Yeah. I mean, I feel the same way. There's good elements to it, but it seems like nobody I know likes the time displaced X-Men team. And yet, they're still there.
Yeah. And I feel like Warren and Bobby are just like, they're useless. They're just not good characters at this point in their X-Men career.
No, they're just kind of there.
And I cannot stand how whiny Cyclops is. It just bugs the crap out of me.
It's Cyclops.
Yeah. And I'm just like, but I love the addition of Bloodstorm. I think that's awesome. I really like that. Yeah. So I don't know. I just cannot. Yeah. I guess what I'm saying is I like Beast and I like Jean Grey, but the other three I could do without. And they typically don't have a lot going on during the comic.
You know, for me, Cyclops is one of my favorite X-Men characters, like, ever. Mm-hmm. So I love Cyclops right to the end of the Jim Lee era, and then I think they started really screwing him.
Yeah, I liked him up until Schism, and then I was over it, and I was like, no, dude, seriously, come on.
Yeah, I don't know they had just no clue what to do with Cyclops, and they just destroyed him. But this is not making it any better. I thought when the time displaced X-Men were going to come back, we were going to get the actual Cyclops back again. I thought we were going to get like a leader, you know, like young, yes, kind of like still learning the ropes, but I thought we were going to get Cyclops, and this is not.
Yeah.
Cyclops,
so. I agree.
Have you seen, not to get too far off track, but have you seen Jimmy Howlett?
Oh. Yeah.
Have you seen what's happened to him?
No, I'm only on like issue 12 or 13, and they're up in the 20s.
Yeah, so, I just read the latest. I won't spoil it for you, but
is it bad?
Oh, it's horrendous. It's horrendous.
Dude,
it's so bad. I'm just hoping they kill them off or something, because it's just
All right, I'll just keep an eye out for it.
Well, you'll know it when you see it. Okay. So it's like it's a jump the shark moment, and like not only did he jump the shark, but I think he went into like outer space as he was jumping the shark and came back down.
Just tell me. I want to know now.
All right. So do you know the poisons? Do you know what those are?
No, I don't know what those are.
Okay. They're a really horrible character idea that I don't know who came up with. They're basically, they eat venom symbiotes.
Okay.
So the X-Men went into space. They had this whole long, really overdrawn space arc. And they got into a war with the poisons. And so they're like these little, dopey little tiny creatures, but then they merged with beings who have merged with symbiotes, and they eat the symbiote off of them, but then kind of take over the body, and that's their host. But they completely take over the body. It's not like there's a shared anything. So I guess I must have missed the issue. I don't know how I missed it, but I guess I missed the issue where Jimmy got infected with one.
Oh God!
So now he's this character called Poison, because apparently all of the poisons are extinct now except him. He's the last one, and he's fused with this poison. He's called Poison, and picture Wolverine in his brown costume, crossed over with Venom. And that's what he looks like. So, like, it's got, like, the mask, but then the big teeth and jaws of Venom. And, like, he's gigantic. And his claws are tendrils. When they shoot out, he can do, like, a regular claw, but then also he has, like, they turn into, like, three tentacles. It's so awful.
Man.
It's terrible. And I'm hoping... I'm hoping he gets
well, now I have something to look forward to.
There you go.
All right.
so there's that's Jimmy's fate, and I don't know what's going to happen to him, but we'll see. So that's that. While we're talking Marvel, we can also talk about Fantastic Four number one and the incredible cover onslaught that it has received.
Make it stop.
It's not going to. Marvel's on this kick. I don't know what the hell is even going on with this, but they're on this kick of variant covers, but like not variant covers like you think, like there's a couple of variant covers. They're on this kick of like 30,000 variant covers for every big issue that they publish. So now we've got Fantastic Four number one coming out. Comes out August 8th. There are so far 9 variant covers with, I've heard it's going to be 25 covers. I don't know if that's accurate, but I've heard there are going to be 25 covers for this book. So right now there's 9 that have been revealed, including some really good ones. But, you know, I mean, do we need it? No. It's just a pump up sales figure. In addition to all of this, which we don't have in this post, because we did a cover roundup for Fantastic Four. So that's up. You can go take a look at all the covers. But then in addition to that, there is a line-wide variant cover series for the Fantastic Four next month. So, not completely line-wide, but a bunch of the books from Marvel will be getting variant covers that include the Fantastic Four. And some of those are cool, too. Don't get me wrong. But, I mean, you don't need this. There were, like, 50 covers for Amazing Spider-Man number 800. There were like 1,000 covers for Superman, you know, for Action Comics. I mean, do you need all of this? I don't know.
There were many also for Iron Man.
Right. Recently. That's right. That's right. You're right. They had that whole, like, Hall of Armors, all the different armors on the. Yeah. Right. Right. I don't know. I mean, honestly, if I was going to make a case for one, I would say Action Comics because it's number 1,000.
Right.
But like for Amazing Spider-Man 800, yeah, that's a big book, maybe a couple of variants, but I think there were like 20-something variants on that one. And now Fantastic Four number one, this is not like a landmark book. It's number one. They're coming back to the Marvel Universe, but do you need tons and tons and tons of variant covers? I don't think.
But. Isn't this what got the Marvel into trouble like in the late 90s? Like when they were like publishing, you know, they're like, oh, number one sell great, but let's have exactly 25 different variants of it. Isn't that kind of what got them into trouble anyway?
You know what? That's a good point. Yeah. Those, the variants and like the chromium covers and die cut. Yeah, you're right.
Trying to publish all this crap. I mean, I know there's a lot of people who love comics, but I don't know.
Well, the industry's not what it used to be either, dude. I mean,
exactly. You know. I just don't see that many people. I mean, I never, the most comic variant cover I ever collected was for X-Men number one from the Jim Lee run. And that was literally just six different covers because that's how big the poster was. Plus they had the foil one, but I never got the foil one. So, but that's the only time I've ever bought variant covers.
No, me too. Sometimes I'll buy the variant instead of the standard one. Like Eric was nice enough to send me that one for Flash. But I'm not going to buy that. I'm not going to buy two. I'm just going to buy one.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And then on top of that, I just hate going to like search for them because they're always like hidden. And then they're like, oh yeah. And there's only so many places that sell comics now. So.
Right. Yeah. Right. That's the other thing. By the way, I'm looking at the Fantastic Four story, and Mr. Fantastic is standing on his variant cover with both his arms folded and his hands on his hips.
Oh my.
Wow. It's ridiculous looking. I just realized that. Oh god. Well, more Marvel stuff. We'll do a little more Marvel stuff. We've got Infinity War news, or Infinity Wars news. And we're gonna talk about the Infinity Warps. The warps coming out of the wars. This is like retread. So
that, I'm totally interested. I hate saying that.
Oh no.
I'm totally interested and I hate saying it.
Despite the fact that Ghost Panther looks awesome. Because he does.
He does look awesome.
I can't bring myself to be interested in this, but I'm glad to hear you are. I'm glad to hear you are. But apparently Infinity Wars is going to get very strange and start crossing characters over, kind of like the amalgam characters from the 90s. We're going to have Ghost Panther, which is Ghost Rider and Black Panther. We're going to have Arachnite, which looks to be the Scarlet Spider and Moon Knight. And we're going to have Weapon Hex, which is apparently X-23 and Scarlet Witch, I guess. Weird, and it looks weird, and
they look weird, but they all look cool. They look pretty darn. I mean, Arachnite is probably the least one I'm interested in. The other two look really cool. So
the special effects on the Weapon Hex cover are really
beautiful. That looks really cool.
I can't bring myself to be excited, but but I will say that is cool. I'd rather see something new than a retread of past ideas, but whatever. So the warps, this is the first round. There's going to be more. I've been really enjoying Infinity Countdown, which is leading into Infinity Wars. So I don't know how good the event is going to be, but it's good so far. We'll see. Maybe it's good. Maybe I'm wrong. So anyway, that's the Comic Rack official. And we're going to talk a little San Diego Comic-Con now as we continue to careen towards what is one of the largest entertainment events on the earth. It is coming up later this month. It is taking place in San Diego. And we have more exclusives to talk about as far as the con goes. IDW publisher, who holds the rights to many, many of your favorite properties from the 80s, 90s, and today. So they will have a ton of comic books on hand that are going to be exclusive to the show. Ninja Turtles, DuckTales, G.I. Joe, some really cool limited edition covers, from artists who are not normally on the books. There's Danger Girl, too. I just noticed that. And that has not been around in ages, I don't think. So that is really cool. So there's some good stuff to be had here. Sonic the Hedgehog, Star Trek, Star Wars Adventures, which is the kid-themed Star Wars book. Neat stuff if you're going. There's going to be a ton of stuff at the booth. Most of these are limited, however, to 250 or 500 copies. There's a selection of stuff that you can actually pre-order. I believe you can still pre-order them, and the link is in the story. So there's a limited selection of that, but the idea there is you pre-order them and then you just go to the booth and pick them up. So that's like the super limited stuff, some of which may be sold out by now. But there's something, DuckTales, there's a Joe Jusco Marvel Masterpiece hardcover variant, which is really cool. It is the Upper Deck card series that Jusco made. Yeah, it's 130 pages, I guess. Cards.
That's so cool.
Yeah, there's the new variant cover has the Incredible Hulk on it, which I'm not sure what it looks like, but it's Jusco, so probably pretty cool. So that's some cool stuff. If you're going to the show, you may want to check out the pre-orders. Also, Marvel Comics talked about its panels this week, which we knew was coming. So the big booth of nothing will be playing host to some pretty cool panels and stuff like that. So you can check out the full listing. We have it up on the website. Marvel always does a good job with that. I mean, I kid about the booth having nothing in it, but there's a reason it has nothing in it. It's because the crowds that gather to listen to the panels are always pretty extensive. So if you are interested in that, then you may want to check out this list of stuff. And also make sure you get to the booth incredibly early, because I'm not kidding. The crowds are huge and they stand there forever. So get there early. Also, this week we had FX talking about its return to Comic-Con, the FX network. We'll be back at Comic-Con once again. It'll have Archer, Sunny, it'll have Legion. There'll be more stuff there, including the new Mayans show. There will be a big exhibit outside of the con. So this is something you can go to even if you don't have a ticket to Comic-Con, which is always kind of neat. The city, if people don't know, is really alive. San Diego is just alive with Comic-Con everywhere. There are street teams, there are exhibits, all kinds of stuff. So it's really neat. So this is a set of different exhibits that you can go to. They're going to have some NFC bracelets that you can actually sign up for ahead of time online. So again, if you want to do that, we have the link in the story. Should be a fun time. Usually is. FX does a nice job. That will be going on every day of the con, except for preview day. And July 22nd, which is the last day, they close early. They get out of there at 2 o'clock. So make sure you're ready for that.
Good for them.
Yeah, really good for them, because the crowds are insane.
Yeah.
And much the same thing goes for these events, by the way, as the Marvel booth. If you want to get in someplace and you want to get it done by a specific time, make sure you get there incredibly early, or you're going to be online for really long. So just to let you know. So a couple more really cool things. We've got kind of a stunner, because I didn't know this was coming, but apparently Mego is back. And I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. I've heard it pronounced Mego, but Mego is an action figure line from the 70s, from the late 70s, which combined Marvel characters, DC characters, and a bunch of other properties like Star Trek into basically one line. They all had the same form factor, same like sculpting, so they all looked similar. They had cloth outfits. They included accessories, kind of like the 112 collective from Mezco, but not on that collector level. So they were priced for, you know, for just regular people walking to a store, pick one up, for kids mainly. So this line is making a comeback. I don't know any details. I'm not sure what the first figures are even going to be. We will be finding out at Comic-Con. The crazy thing is these things are still under wraps, and these are going to start hitting stores next month. So I don't know if this is going to be like some really big reveal with some, like, you know, huge characters and stuff. I mean, I don't know. So we'll find out. But it's going to be interesting. It should be interesting anyway. So we will find that out at the con. They will have a booth. Presumably they're going to have figures on display at the booth. We'll see. One thing that will be on display at the booth is the actual real life version of the very first Mego action figure from back in the 70s. And if you know who that is, then you know it is NFL great Joe Namath. So Joe Namath will be on hand at the Mego booth signing autographs. I think he's got 2 days where he's going to be signing autographs. And he's actually signing with the head of, I think he's the head of Mego. So he's kind of a famous figure if you're a toy collector. Of Mego specifically. So people will be going to the booth to get autographs. So go say hi to Joe if you're going. It's booth 830. I'm just looking it up. He's going to be there on Friday the 20th from 1 to 2. So it's only 1 hour. So if you do want to get an autograph, again, I know I'm saying this a lot, but again, make sure you get there incredibly early. I would say almost like 11:30, 11 o'clock. If you want to, because the chances are the line is going to be huge. So, yeah. I will be chatting with Mego, not Joe, but I will be chatting with Mego about the toys. So we'll see what they have in store. And finally, just very quickly, I'll throw in there that Nickelodeon is going to be at the con as well. I see this is listed here. Is going to be at the con. They're going to have lots of Ninja Turtles stuff, other things. Nickelodeon puts on a nice floor display. So if you're going to be there, definitely swing by and check that out, even if you are not a fan of the Ninja Turtles reboot, which has both come a long way too soon and does not look good. Anyway, lastly, let's talk about DST exclusives, Diamond Select. We'll have a bunch of stuff at the con as usual. This is pretty typical. They always have some neat stuff. So they're going to be there. Make sure you get there, with Diamond, it's not quite to the level of the other stuff. They usually have a nice stock of items on hand. So if you get there, if you go in the first day or whatever, you should be able to open. There'll be a really cool, cloaked Romulan Warbird, or Bird of Prey. I'm sorry. This is the original series. From Star Trek that they'll be selling at the booth, which is really neat. It's a little expensive at $70, but these are pretty big starships. This one's 12 inches wingspan. That's cool stuff. There's some neat statues as well. You can go check that out on the website. Really cool Superman two-pack of Vinnie Mates, which includes a modern Superman and the original Superman. With the classic costume, with the shield style S on the chest. It's cool stuff, so you can go check that out. And that I think does it for the San Diego Comic-Con coverage this week. We've already got a bunch of press releases in the email that'll be going up next week, so we will be back on the next episode with more San Diego Comic-Con stuff for you. For now, that's it.
Cool. Thanks for taking us through that, Jason. It took a while, but we always appreciate you telling us all about the comic things.
Thank you. Happy you guys chimed in. Didn't have to talk quite as much.
Yeah, well, you know what they say about toys?
No.
Well, neither do I, but I just bought my pre-ordered my first one, so...
It's very exciting, Eric.
think I'm going to be going down a dangerous hill here. So
you are. Gonna... oh, you know, you know, I meant to tell you also, there is an exclusive Planet of the Apes diorama.
Jason, you stop.
Which is going to be at Comic-Con for the Funko reaction figures, which are the ones that made like Kenner. I spoke too soon on that, by the way, guys. When I did the review of the Masters figures last week, this is not the end of that line. Apparently, it was just a lull because the Comic-Cons are going to have an exclusive with the Statue of Liberty backdrop. And then it's got like a plastic platform with pegs, so you can stand all the little Planet of the Apes figures on there.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it is pretty neat.
No.
Well, you let me know if you want it. I'll pick it up for you.
Jeez. How much is this going for?
I don't even know. I don't know. We didn't get a press release, so I'm not
sure. Lots of money.
Yeah. Anyway.
Eric, what's this? Well, you know, I had to buy this.
Here's the thing.
Here's the thing. It's Planet of the Apes. So, I mean,
yeah.
You tell me I shouldn't have bought it.
You probably will. So.
Oh, gosh. What a nightmare.
It's a Planet of Apes.
I don't have anything to say to this. Although, you sent me down a dangerous path, and I'm not sure Ashley's ever going to forgive you.
I have. No, probably not. I wouldn't probably forgive me. So. I feel like that guy? F him.
That's really funny. So... all right. What are we playing, guys?
Wait, we have other stuff.
Maybe we have two more things.
Oh, holy crap, we do.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. All right.
We got other stuff.
Jason, I'm so sorry. Well, since you put this together.
Oh, damn it. All right. part of this is besides the point anyway. So this is the Games of July. This went up 5 days ago. So some of these are out already. Jurassic Park Evolution, or Jurassic World, I guess. I keep saying that. I even wrote it. Jurassic World Evolution is out. Red Faction Guerrilla Remastered Edition is out. RBI Baseball is coming out this coming week. On the 13th, also, we will have Earthfall, which I didn't even know really anything about, but that's a Gearbox game, I guess. So maybe it's good. Octopath Traveler on the Switch. Yes.
I'm very excited for that one. I'm bringing I was going to say I'm bringing my Switch to work on Friday, but that's a lie because I won't be picking the game up till after work on Friday.
Octopath Traveler is so good. Even for someone who does not play JRPGs, I really am kind of like, sorry, I'm not going to be getting it because it's really good.
I was at that barbecue last Saturday. And, it's like the only game anybody was talking about.
Yeah, I can see that.
Excited for it.
It's awesome. Also, Captain Toad, Treasure Tracker.
That's a good one, but it's not quite on the same level just because we've seen it before.
Yeah, I don't think there's enough new stuff. I don't really think there's very much new stuff at all in this Switch edition.
Yeah. Right.
Next week, on the 17th, Sonic Mania Plus arrives with the return of Mighty.
I didn't even know these characters existed, okay? That makes me so mad.
The triumphant return, Eric.
The triumphant return, yeah, because we needed these guys back. We needed Might and freaking Ray the Armadillo.
How exciting.
Ray the Flying Squirrel and...
It's Ray.
I'm flustered over this. Tell you what, this is stupid. We don't need these characters. And you know what? I'm still going to buy it. And I'm so mad about that. I'm so mad.
What are you going to do? I mean, it's a physical edition of a great game.
You're yeah, exactly. They were like, well, we have to release this physically because otherwise no one's going to buy this dumb squirrel DLC.
No, absolutely nobody would buy this.
So, this must have been their strategy the whole time.
That was it. And it was solely aimed at you.
I'm so frustrated over it.
Someone right now is laughing. Ha ha, we got him.
This isn't a joke. This isn't funny.
Okay, I'm sorry. Also, on the 17th, Tempest 4000, which I am thinking of getting because I really like the Tempest. So, thinking about that one. I don't know why I even included this because I don't know what it is. But Touhou Genso Wanderer Reloaded will be out as well. On the 24th, I'm looking forward to this one, Mega Man X Legacy Collection. And No Man's Sky on the Xbox One will be out.
No Man's Sky.
Yeah, there we go.
Presumably, at that point, also No Man's Sky Next will be released for the PS4. So, I guess that's probably the same day. On the 27th, Banner Saga Trilogy hits the Xbox One and PS4. And Hello Neighbor, which has an odd amount of fans, hits the PS4 and Switch.
It's got a lot of play. We got a lot. It's got a lot of media play. Like, there's Funko Pops for it already.
Isn't that weird?
To me. Yeah.
I don't get it.
It, you know, it's that art style, and it's like that kind of horror game. So it really caters to like children who watch Let's Players.
Aren't there McFarlane building sets also, like Lego sets? I think there are.
I believe there are. Yeah, I'm like 99% sure I've seen those at the store.
That's so crazy.
While I'm looking at my Lego, my Master Constructors or whatever they're called, Pokemon toys. Yes. Yeah.
I am currently looking at my also Mega Constructs Heroes figures, which I just bought. The latest wave of it includes the T-800, T-1000, Data from Star Trek, a Xenomorph, Faker from Masters of the Universe, and I think there's one other guy hanging around.
That's pretty cool.
They are pretty cool little figures. Got them in front of my computer. Before we get completely off of this, though, on the 31st, legend has it. I say that because I've seen this one place and nowhere else, so I listed it here. We'll see. Titan Quest will be hitting the Switch on July 31st. I hope it does because I really want to play that game again, and I really want to play it on Switch, so I hope it finally comes out.
What is Titan Quest?
It's basically an ARPG, Diablo-y kind of a thing. Greek. Takes place in Greek mythology, and you play as a warrior who goes on like a long quest to kill some mythological monster.
Huh.
Neat. Yeah.
You know what else is coming to the Switch?
What's that?
I feel like kind of got lost in the shuffle. Wasteland 2.
Oh, you're right.
That's really cool. So
that is really cool. When is that out?
I don't know, but I saw that, and that's awesome. And I will almost assuredly be getting that.
Yeah. I totally forgot about that. Also, Victor Vran is coming out for Switch sometime this summer. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yes.
So that's it for the new releases. But we also have a game of the month to talk about.
And this was stolen from the proper game of the month.
Well, it is Conan, so yeah, he may have stolen it. Possible. Our game of the month for May. Yes, it's late. Our game of the month for May is Conan Exiles, the final release of Conan Exiles, which has been a long time coming, and finally went gold and hit consoles and the PC with a big update. And yeah, there it is. We have a review up. We have a preview up. There's lots of Conan Exiles stuff to read on Brutal Gamer. It's a great game. Rick, you did the review of this, right?
I did, and I liked it. It's a great game. It's a survival game, so just be prepared for that, you know, that, I don't know. What's the word I'm looking for? Learning curve.
Yeah.
So, a bit of a, but it's good.
Yeah, it does have a little bit of a learning curve. I actually went back to play a little bit of the PC version this week, and I kind of forgot. It's tough. It's not an easy game.
Yeah. You definitely have to get past probably the first, probably 5 hours of the game. So if you survive past the first 5 hours, then you can figure out how to build everything, and then you can start exploring and stuff. And the game definitely opens up, and there's a lot more to do. But yeah, man, when you first wake up and you have to just like hang out in the riverbed area, it could be a little tough. And you're like, what am I doing? I feel like that's like every survival game now these days. So
I found this guy sitting by a fire, and I was just waiting for him to attack me. So I kept creeping up on him from behind, and I had a pickaxe, and he never got up. So I just killed him with a pickaxe. Like, nice. Hit him in the head like 80 times. But these are the fun things that you can do if you play Clan Exile. Oh, it's a good game. Rick gave it an 82.
Yeah.
So our runners up were, we had two, State of Decay 2, was the first one. Was that the game that it was stolen from, Eric?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want to say something about State of Decay 2?
It's fun. That's
fun.
All right,
well. It's really fun. I'd highly recommend it, especially if you got the Game Pass. You should download that, Jason.
I really should. I haven't played it yet, so.
Yeah.
Third place went to a little game that is extremely strange looking, called West of Loathing. And
yeah, you know, I've heard good things about it, but hasn't piqued my interest enough where I've bought it. But I've heard good things.
I have too, mainly from Mike. But yeah. Anyway, those are our games of the month for May. You can go check them out. They're up on BG right now. And check out the article, look at the trailers. And we will have a June award given out this coming week. So we'll talk about that next week.
Cool.
Nice.
So what is everyone playing?
What are you playing?
Let me go first.
Jason? Yeah, what are you playing?
Okay. Well, I am trying to play Assassin's Creed Origins. I'll be getting back to that. But again, great game. I am playing a little more Warhammer 40K Inquisitor Martyr, which I will have a review for this week. I actually started writing it, so that'll be up early this week. That is a really fun game. There's a couple little issues, but I'll tell you about them. But it is really fun. I'll tell you right now, I'm recommending it. I am also playing on my Switch. I'm playing the Mega Man collection still. I've been playing the Street Fighter games a little bit, knocking around with that collection. So lots of fun stuff. And I just picked up Evolution. I'll be starting that for a snapshot. So that's what I'm doing.
Cool.
Nice.
How about you, Rick?
I'm just playing Assassin's Creed's Origins right now. Just trying to dive into that and be playing that until No Man's Sky comes out in a couple more weeks.
Cool.
And you know what else also I've been playing? That's, and I was dogging on it when we did the last podcast, is Assault Android Cactus. And you know what? You guys, you should download that game. I know Eric has Jason. You should also download it. It's actually a pretty fun game. It's a really fun game to play.
Nice. It is. It has local co-op.
Yeah.
So that's cool. It's fun.
Yeah. So I would recommend that game. It's good fun time.
Cool.
Yeah, it is.
What are you playing, Eric?
So I've been playing Neo this week, which is a sort of like Dark Souls, but not really. Like, it's a third person action game, but that doesn't, I don't really think that means it's like Dark Souls.
Is it a Matrix game?
What? I don't understand the reference.
You know, Neo?
No, don't you even.
Wow, Neo.
Being facetious.
Whoa.
No, it's a samurai game, basically. You're a samurai, and you can use, there's like 8 different weapon types. And you unlock samurai skill points, you unlock ninja skill points and magic skill points to do different things. It's like Dark Souls. People call it like a samurai Dark Souls game because of how, because it's a third person action game. But I disagree with that. It's a lot faster than Dark Souls. Dark Souls is really slow and kind of cutting, where this one's more of a, I don't know. You can play this one faster, I guess. I don't really know. But it's just as punishing, but I don't think it's as difficult as Dark Souls. And if it is, it's not as difficult for the same reasons. When you die, it's obvious what you did wrong. So I haven't had any situations where I get killed because of a something that we'll say is BS. You know, I haven't gotten killed by a boulder that I would have never have known was there, rolled me over and I got killed or something
that
like
sucks. That. Sucks.
So, yeah, it's a lot of fun, very fair. I plan on playing this week. I plan on playing Heavy Rain with my fiance because we're house sitting. So we're watching a dog, and we're going to have a lot of downtime after work. So we're going to be playing Heavy Rain together, I think. Hope. And I think that's basically all I've been playing this week since I reviewed Tennis Aces. Yeah, I was actually also playing that Spirit Sphere DX game on the Switch. It's like $10 or $12 or something like that. And it's like a fantasy tennis game, but because it's 2D, it plays more like air hockey. Mm. It's great. It's a lot of fun. It's pretty cheap.
Nice.
That is cool.
So, yeah, I think that's it. I think that's what I've been up to. When I'm not busy. So, yeah, I guess that's it. Nice. So, everybody, this was our show. Jason carried the load with his comic book news and San Diego news.
Yeah.
Oh, also, Warframe's coming to the Switch, which is
wow. Yeah.
So that's a free-to-play. So I might stick to that now that it's on the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
So, what is that?
I just saw it on Facebook. So.
What is it?
It's a third-person action-adventure game, and you are in it's like a war suit. I forgot what they're called. I tried to start playing this game, but it was, I don't know, I just couldn't get into it. Let me think. And yeah, it's just like a kind of Destiny-ish, maybe. There's just a lot of lore to it. There's a, yeah, so, and there's a whole bunch of stuff you can do. So, I don't know, maybe I'll pick it up. Maybe the three of us can play on the Switch or something.
Cool.
Yeah, it is free.
That'd be pretty cool if that'd be cool if it's
someone... it's free.
Yeah, free to play.
I know it's free to play on the PS4.
Yeah, it's free to play on Xbox, so I'm sure it'll be free to play on Switch.
Right.
Yeah.
So
that's nice. Cool then. I'll have to check that out.
But okay. Thanks for listening, everybody. We can't be totally sure if there's going to be a show next week because of some personal things going on. But, you know, if not, we'll see you the week after that. So, Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye.
Bye-bye.